The book of Deuteronomy has been called the constitution of Adonai's chosen people. Indeed, it does read much like an ancient Middle Eastern constitution, outlining the expectations of the ruler, in this case Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, the Lord God Almighty, and the people, namely Yisrael. Included in the constitution are the consequences arising from following the Articles of Constitution, the blessings for obedience mentioned in Deuteronomy 28, and the negative consequences or curses for disobeying the Articles of Constitution, also in Deuteronomy 28. Oh, that Israel had followed Adonai's commands and had received only the blessings and not the curses, which annihilated a full generation. All through the 40-year trek through the wilderness, Israel failed test after test and was given many more negative consequences than they would have received had they been obedient. Abba Father, Jehovah of our hearts, of our minds, I pray that you open our hearts to receive your message for us today. I pray that the understanding of your divine relationships with us will lead us into action, that we may become more present in the world and less of the world, more present in sharing your word and less present in denying your word. And for this we praise you. B'shem Yeshua Moshichenu. Amen. This summer I had the pleasure of reading Howard Katz's book, Seven Essential Relationships, How to Pass Adonai's Crucial Tests. Katz is a born-again Jewish believer and the pastor of Open Door Christian Fellowship. In my conversations with Katz this summer, who lives in London, Ontario, he shared with me his desire to spread the word, especially to those within the body of Messiah who have a simplistic understanding of the multifaceted relationship we are blessed to have with our Creator. He was quite delighted when I asked his permission to use the premise of the relationships we do enjoy with Adonai Elohim Tzevaot. In every age from time of Adam and Chava in the Garden of Eden, human beings have been tested to strengthen and deepen their faith. Even today, you and I are presented with many tests in our relationship with our Abba B'Shamayim, our Father in heaven. A reading of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation reveals a number of relationships we have with our beloved Abba. A brief review identifies our relationships with the word of Adonai Elohim, his scriptures, his commands, his life instructions from Torah, and the Torah of Adonai Yeshua. The world he created for us, and our place within it, but not of it. Authority. We realize not all authority is godly. Indeed, most of the world's authority is not. Do we then have a responsibility to adhere to an authority we do not believe has credibility? Adonai's interactions with us. Adonai Elohim interacts with us every day, bringing us into relationship with his activities in our lives. Adonai's plans for our lives. Do you not find it strange for me to state we have a relationship with Adonai's plans for our lives? Yet such a relationship does exist. Adonai Elohim himself. Clearly, we do have a relationship with the ruler of the universe and the lover of our souls. This relationship extends to Adonai Yeshua, our Se Pesach, our Passover Lamb. The Shekhinah of Adonai Elohim, Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of Adonai Elohim, has a relationship with each one of us who have given our lives and wills to Adonai Yeshua. Indeed, he occupies our houses. Over the next few months, I will be exploring each of these relationships and the tests with which inevitably are presented to us as we live within our spiritual relationships. If you think your family has problems, consider the marriage mayhem created when 76-year-old Bill Baker of London recently wed Edna Harvey. Edna happened to be Bill's granddaughter's husband's mother. You got that, did you? Bill's granddaughter's husband's mother. That's where the confusion began. According to Baker's granddaughter, Lynn, now follow this carefully, and it does become a little complicated. Lynn shares with us, "My mother-in-law is now my step-grandmother. My grandfather is now my stepfather-in-law. My mom is now my sister-in-law, and my brother is my nephew. But even crazier is that I'm now married to my uncle, and my own children are my cousins." From this experience, Lynn should gain profound insight into the theory of relativity. Humorous, of course, but it does in some way touch upon the complexity of our varied relationships with the ruler of the universe and the lover of our souls. The message of this illustration for me really speaks to the many ways and forms in which I am related to Adonai Elohim Tzavaot and the depth and breadth of these relationships. Today's message begins with an exploration of our relationship with Adonai Elohim's word. At the conclusion of each message, I invite your comments and questions. Recently, Chantal and I had the pleasure and the blessing of watching the film God's Not Dead. Anyone in this room have seen that movie? Oh, good, because I want to bring it into Chavarim Moshiach and show it. It's an incredibly powerful movie that focuses on the power of his word. Let's deal with the fundamental question. Do we have a relationship with Adonai's word? Don't worry, that's not a trick question. Those who lack a relationship with Adonai himself may not recognize such a connection with his word, but those of us who do will. To understand this relationship clearly, we need to begin with John 1, wherein we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing made had being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind." As I have shared with you before, the word, originally presented in biblical Greek as logos, has a range of meanings, including a word, speech, divine utterance, and analogy. Remember that Greek has very few, that is, biblical Greek has very few words for the spiritual realm and many, many words for the logical realm of principle. When we go deeper, we may observe this word having spiritual significance, since it speaks to a word being the expression of a thought, a saying, preeminently used of Messiah, and expressing the thoughts of the Father through the Spirit. That's from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. The early believers of John's gospel being shared with the Jewish community of Jerusalem would also have heard the word devar, itself having a range of meanings from discrete speech to speech of God's lips. The Aramaic memra also has special significance to us, since both rabbinic and messianic Jewish theologians see this as meaning the very expression of the living Elohim. To believers, John 1 clearly refers to Adonai as the incarnate word of Adonai Elohim. He is the incarnate life instructions of our Heavenly Father. He is the living Torah. But this relationship involves much more, if anything more is possible. When I think of Adonai's Devarim, I am taken to the wisdom of Solomon, who receiving his lesson relates to us, "For wisdom is a kindly spirit and will not free a blasphemer from the guilt of his words, because Adonai is witness of his inmost feelings and a true observer of his heart and a hearer of his tongue." With wisdom comes life, as we are told in Proverbs 3. Don't be conceited about your own wisdom, but fear Adonai and turn from evil. This, that is Adonai's wisdom, will bring health to your body and give strength to your bones. Once more we read in Proverbs 4, "Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding." Indeed, Adonai Yeshua himself spoke of wisdom and its value in Matthew 13 when he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. A man found it, hid it again, then in great joy went and sold everything he owned and bought that field." What connection does the kingdom of heaven have with Adonai's word? A grand question is this. In Mark 1, Adonai Yeshua tells us, "The time has come. Adonai's kingdom is near. Turn to Adonai from your sins and believe the good news." We have already discovered that the word has many meanings, including the incarnate Jehovah. When we hear the phrase kingdom of heaven, we may read it as the presence of Adonai Yeshua among us, and his abilities to forgive sins and heal the sick, cause the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see, and to free those in bondage. Thus, at a deeper level than wisdom, Adonai's word may be viewed as the kingdom of heaven among us. An additional important aspect of this relationship is the role of Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of Adonai Elohim, who is critical in our relationship with the Word, inasmuch as without the Spirit's leading in our readings of Adonai Yeshua's Torah, we would be left with only simple understandings of his teachings. Understandings which go much deeper and bring such unbelievable richness to our growing relationship with Adonai Elohim, our Elohim, Abba. By inviting the leading of Haruach into our devotions and into our studies, we are ensuring a deeper reading into his meaning without being led to over-spiritualizing or reading into what is not contained within his word, as so many seem to do. The more often we delve into his word, the closer we draw to our beloved Abba, and the more intimate will be our relationship with him. Scripture speaks of this. The young King David, as he was hiding from the deposed Shaul, wrote in Psalm 63, "O God, you are my God. I will seek you eagerly. My heart thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a land parched and exhausted, where no water can be found. Hear the desire within David's plea to draw closer to intimacy with Adonai Elohim. My heart thirsts for you. What a longing such thirst brings to our souls. Do you have that longing, that desire to be intimate with our loving Abba, our supreme Elohim? If that yearning is not there, what has replaced your first love? This analogy of thirsting after Adonai is found elsewhere. For example, in Psalm 42, the descendants of Korach wrote, "Just as a deer longs for running streams, Elohim, I long for you. I am thirsty for God, for the living God." Adonai Yeshua spoke directly about our thirsting after our relationship with our living God. Hear his words as he addressed the Samaritan woman at the well, written in John 4. "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never be thirsty again. On the contrary, the water I give him will become a spring of water inside him, welling up into eternal life." Many people have theorized just what Adonai Yeshua meant when he spoke about a spring of water inside him. Here, I believe, he was speaking of the comfort and refreshment which comes from delving into his word and using the messages found within the Hebrew and the apostolic scriptures to order our will, our desires, and our actions to be in line with his. Others have postulated the spring of water refers to the Holy Spirit, who will lead us closer to Adonai through his word and through revelation. To discuss the theology of God's word revealed to us today would require more than one message. However, we do know there are a few ways in which he reveals his nature to us. One is through creation, as we read in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The dome of the sky speaks the work of his hands. Every day it utters speech. Every night it reveals knowledge. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, reiterates this understanding in Romans 1, where we find, "For ever since the creation of the universe, his invisible qualities, both his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly seen, because they can be understood from what he has made." Another form of revelation is special revelation. These truths come to us from the Holy Spirit directly and through his word. Those believers who listen for the voice of Adonai will at some point in their lives receive his revelation, his direction, and his confirmation. This is what occurred to Chantal and me when he told us to begin his fellowship early in 2010. Another form of special revelation comes to us through the reading of his word. From the time of Joshua on, every judge and king of Israel was required to make a copy of Adonai's life instructions, his Torah. In Deuteronomy 31, Jehovah tells Moshe, "When all Israel have come to appear in the presence of Adonai at the place he will choose, you are to read this Torah before all Israel so that they can hear it." The prophet Samuel did exactly the same, as we read in 1 Samuel 10. Shemuel told the people what kinds of ruling should be made in the kingdom, then wrote it on a scroll and set it down before Adonai. Adonai Yeshua provided a prime example of this when he sent the message of his ministry to Yohanan the Immerser, as we read in Luke 7. "Go tell Yohanan what you have been seeing and hearing. The blind are seeing again. The lame are walking. People with sa'arat are being cleansed. The deaf are hearing. The dead are being raised. The good news is being told to the poor. You may recognize his revelation to Yohanan originating from verses within Isaiah 26, 35, and 61. Who knows when Adonai will reveal his instructions and his prophetic words to us if we do not spend time each day in his word? William Phelps, a professor at Yale University until his death in 1943, is quoted to have said, "I believe that knowledge of the Bible without a college education is more valuable than a college education without the Bible." Here Phelps is speaking of the power which comes from a deeper knowledge of Adonai's word. Many listening to this message today have experienced the power of his word in their lives. One young woman, whom we shall call Lila, suffered through the dreaded experience of miscarriage and also through the loss of blood, was faced with her imminent death. Although she was not fully conscious for much of the time, Lila did recall a thought continually running through her mind: "I can endure, I can survive, I can withstand all things through Christ who strengthens me." Those of you who know Scripture well recognize this verse as originating with Rav Shaul in Philippians 4:13. Clearly, there is power in the word. In this case, Adonai's word supported and strengthened Lila as she lay in her hospital bed. Lila knew these words represented Adonai's promise to sustain her through this period of extreme trial. Rav Shaul expressed this power clearly in Hebrews 4 when he wrote, "The word of God is alive. It is at work and is sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts right through to where soul meets spirit and joints meet marrow." If we believe in Jehovah's power to sustain, then we will also believe the power within his word. What is there within his word which gives it such power? First, Adonai's word is infused with Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of the living God. It is the Spirit that gives his word life. It is the Spirit who gives his word power. And it is the Spirit who gives his word relevance, both to our lives and to our life experiences. As it has been said, a Bible falling apart belongs to a person who isn't. The more often we consult the powerful word of Jehovah, the greater will be the wisdom, the insights, understandings, and power which will be imparted to us. Adonai's word is truth. It cuts through the layers of our pride, our ego, our defenses, and strikes to the heart of our intentions, our motivations, our desires, our fears. This is the same truth which convicts us of sin and indicates to us when we have strayed from his narrow path of righteousness. Jehovah's word awakens our deepest consciousness and brings us to an awareness of his grace and salvific sacrifice. Without his word, this would not be readily available to us, and we would not be able to return to these promises when we most need them in our lives. Just this past week, a dear friend of ours and of the ministry returned from hospital, having a severe heart attack and quadruple bypass surgery. Shortly before his operation, Don was confronted with a fellow patient who constantly used the name of our Messiah inappropriately in anger. Rather than himself becoming angry, Don shared with this man how much Adonai Yeshua loved him and how much he desired a loving relationship with him. He gave the man a copy of the Bible placed in his room by the Gideons and asked him to read the first chapter of the Gospel of John. The next day, the man came into Don's room, eyes filled with tears, and asked Don how he could have this relationship. As both prayed to receive the sacred promise of salvation, Don physically felt the soothing warmth of the Holy Spirit fill his body. At that moment, he knew the man had been forgiven and received the Holy Spirit. Don felt the power of Jehovah's comfort. Jehovah's word reveals to us our hidden qualities. It shows us the many sides of our human nature, the sinful side, the prideful side, the hurting side, the lonely side, and the side desperate to please others. Through ingesting his word, we are inviting the Spirit of Adonai Yeshua to take hold of our weaknesses and make those areas strong within him. Remember the words relayed by Rav Shaul in 2 Corinthians 12, "My grace is enough for you, for my power is brought to perfection in weakness." Beloved, it is imperative we all realize our relationship with Adonai's word. Here we will find Jehovah's truth, Jehovah's power, Jehovah's comfort, and his encouragement. We certainly are able to have a relationship with the living Torah, his sacred word, Adonai Yeshua. My question then to you today, are you developing a unique relationship with his living word, his living Torah? Be in his word each day and draw insight, draw understanding, and open yourselves to receive his revelations. Abba Father, I pray that we open our hearts to hear the revealed word of our Creator and Messiah. I pray that we are encouraged to be in his word each day. And I pray that you share with us the deeper meanings, the meanings that touch our very souls, the meanings that propel us into action. In your blessed name, I pray. Amen.